Life Audio.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations.
We want families to come here and gain insightful strategies that empower them to successfully teach diverse learners at home.
Hosted by founder and CEO of Sped Homeschool, Peggy Ployer.
Our goal is that these powerful weekly conversations will boost your confidence to cultivate the best at-home learning environment for your student.
For more homeschool resources, go to spedhomeschool.com. You're listening to Empowering Homeschool Conversations with Peggy Ployer. We'll start the conversation with Peggy and her guests next.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations, provided by Sped Homeschool, a nonprofit that empowers families to home educate diverse learners. To learn more, visit spedhomeschool.com. Here's Peggy Ployer.
Today, we're going to talk about schooling horizons, navigating the decision to home educate. And my guest today is Stephanie Palazzolo. I hope I got that right.
Close.
Okay. Stephanie's the owner of My Homeschool Expert. She holds master's and postgraduate degrees in childhood education, adolescent development, and educational policy, and has been working in education for 2 decades. Stephanie specializes in homeschool support, coaching, state laws, mandates, and curriculum, and has worked in various general and special education settings, both in and out of the classroom. Welcome, Stephanie, to the show today.
Hi. Thanks very much for having me.
Absolutely. So we're going to be talking about new to homeschooling. And I even said, you know, in our email that went out, and I know some of you shared some questions ahead of time with us that you'd like us to address from that email that went out. But even if you're kind of at the point where you're going, this isn't quite working, this wasn't what I had planned on. We're going to kind of try to address some of those questions too, because I think a lot of times people jump into homeschooling without really realizing the decisions that they had to make. So we're going to expand that out to not just new homeschooling deciding, but how deciding to stay too, and what would make that easier for you to continue to navigate this decision. Because I find that a lot of families that I talk to, and I'm Stephanie, I'm sure you're the same, is that a lot of families make this decision on a year-by-year basis. And they're like, well, we'll see how this year works. And then they go on to the next year, and lo and behold, sometimes they're homeschooling a long time, or they've made a change and decide that something else is better. So the question I love to ask my guests when they first come on is just, how did you kind of get into this field? And then what just fuels you to keep supporting families in homeschooling and they're navigating this decision to home educate?
So like you said, I got into this about 2 decades ago, kind of by accident. I was doing volunteer work in my home, New York City. And was placed in a domestic shelter for women and children, and started tutoring and doing homework help and things like that, and realized pretty quickly that whatever I was doing in college was wrong, and this is what I wanted to do. So went into it that way. Went up through the ranks with different types of teaching situations, different types of schools even, to administration positions, and got to see the education system, got to travel around the country and even to some different countries to start studying education, what's working, what's not, et cetera. And in the last year of a large federal grant that we were doing to overhaul failing schools, COVID hit. And I feel like, you know, how many people's stories or careers have that, like,
you know, many. Yes. COVID. Yeah. It's like a pivotal point of.
Yeah. So, so like almost overnight, my job changed completely to helping the largest public school system in the country get online within a week. And in doing so, we saw this huge shift where people were all of a sudden home and parents were home. And there was this, how do we do this? The technology, the curriculum, blah, blah, blah. But then there was also this, like, what if I just wanted to do this on my own thing happening? And it's almost like, I think that the week where homeschooling was like born again in the country. And from that point forward, it shifted more to, I started learning the laws, as I went, because nobody was fluent enough in them that didn't come from a homeschooling background originally. And a few of us were on the team that became fluent in all the homeschool laws and helping families offboard and onboard into homeschooling. And then from there, it branched out to the country. And so I've been, I just made this my my thing and my own company, and started bringing in colleagues and people I knew that did this well, because I just saw how well it was working, how helpful it was for families, how necessary it was for navigating the laws and the startup of it all. And I don't want to do anything else. I love it.
That's awesome. Yeah, it is a shift. And like you said, for those of us who had been in the homeschool community before that, I probably in my field, I was more versed than a lot of other home educators, because I was the only one who was taking questions. Usually special education parents were the emergency homeschoolers. They weren't the, we thought about this. We spent years thinking on, you know, how would you do this? And now we've got a plan in place. And that's how people had homeschooled before. Mm-hmm. But with special education, it was like, my child just got kicked out of school. What do I do? My child is failing, but I know they can do better. Or there's just all of these situations that I would deal with on a regular basis. And it seems like when COVID hit, I had answered those questions, but so many people, like you said, hadn't, and especially those within the public school system, they weren't versed, because we've seen that for years in the homeschooling community, that there's education laws, and so and those education laws mandate homeschooling as well as public school and how schools are run, but by each state. Can you address that just a little bit so that people can understand what the differences are and the spectrum of differences between states?
Yeah. So this is, the number one question we get, period. Because homeschooling, is fully legal all over the country, no matter what state you're in. However, it does vary greatly by state.
Yes.
And even some stuff varies by district. So it's, it's something that's very, very nuanced. And there's a lot of, there's a lot of help online for parents. There's a lot of mom groups and parent groups that are very helpful. But you want to make sure you're dotting your I's and crossing your T's, for lack of better words, with not just taking, some advice or something. Just make sure that you're doing everything legally. And depending on what state people call from, there's some information that we need from you to find, okay, so now, now I have everything about you that I need. Now I can tell you what exactly your laws, your district requirements, what I need to do to set you up and basically teach you how to homeschool correctly.
Yeah, there's a lot of state organizations out there that have fought for years before anybody knew about homeschooling. A lot of these pioneers are good friends of mine, and a lot of them were put jail or threatened with jail when they first started homeschooling. Because nobody realizes, you know, the backstory on home education, and it was illegal until a lot of these pioneers that came about in like the late 80s, early 90s, and really challenged that law and said parents can do this. And so, but yes, there's just so many nuances because each of those different states made choices on what those laws would look like, what the mandates would be for the parents, the record keep, you know, just what you'd have to file each year is completely different. And so, yes, you do need to navigate that very thoughtfully. Now, the other question is, we just got a question in from one of our viewers on YouTube, and she said, I'm a homeschooling mom struggling, thinking about enrolling probably her son, him. I'm in Denver, Colorado. Now, re-enrollment is a whole nother story. And could you address that as well as how would a homeschool parent go about re-enrolling a child and how that's different as well with because of laws and mandates?
So one thing I want to point out also in this whole conversation is that these laws also, like you were saying, you know, people are fighting all the time. The laws change all the time too. So one thing we try to keep an eye on is what's changing and where.
Yes.
And, you know, letting people know in that state, any clients that we have, any families we have, you know, currently homeschooling in certain states or certain counties in certain states, if there's a big change that comes out, that's important because you may be in the middle of homeschooling and then a change is made. That is going to affect you. So just keeping our eye on things like that. And even like whatever articles come out like that, I put in newsletters so that families maybe can see, and we'll put it on social media. So maybe somebody will see it. Like say you're in Denver, Colorado, and some sort of, you know, law comes out or changes that's going to affect you. So the enrollment process in general looks kind of standard across the board. It's one of the only things that looks kind of standard across the board, actually. And there's ways to do it that are going to be mandated. And then there's also like good faith things you could do with withdrawing and then enrolling or re-enrolling, whatever it may be. One of the important things is letting your district know, and then they will send it to your state, that you're homeschooling as of X, Y, and Z date. So like most, you know, a lot of parents out there will see this first when they Google, but the letter of intent. So whether you filed one of these in the past and then put them back in school or are starting from, doesn't really matter. You should have a documented letter with the date you're going to begin homeschooling. You could put a sentence or two about what your current, like my child is currently enrolled in blank. We're withdrawing and beginning homeschooling as of blank date. And then sending that so that they have it. And even if you have gone back and forth, which is your legal right as well, just have the documentation showing what dates were what is for sure step one. And I always tell parents, step two is not required, but is good faith. Giving a call to the main office of the school and making sure that they know that you're withdrawing the child. And if they need a copy themselves, because a lot of times things go to the district and take a little while to trickle down to the individual schools, depending on how big, you know, if you're coming from a very small town somewhere versus if you're coming from one of the larger public school systems in the country, it might take a little bit of time, and you don't want those absences racking up and all these things for, you know, for no reason while you're waiting for your paperwork to be processed.
After a word from our sponsor, we'll dive back into this conversation.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations, provided by Sped Homeschool. Go to spedhomeschool.com to get resources and support for teaching your unique learner at home.
Step two is not required, but is always helpful.
It is, because I've seen a lot of truancy cases come up because the school district never let the school know. And then there was a miscommunication in paperwork. And so so following up with that is very wise to do.
Yeah, for sure.
Just because they just have so many things going on. You know what's going on with your child. You know what you don't want them to be reporting and what you do.
I've had quite a number of families call Child services coming and knocking on their door because, I mean, they were doing everything they needed in the home. They were educated. Everything was great. However, the paperwork wasn't filed correctly or something happened and, you know, it racks up and then gets down to, you know, gets moved around. Somebody gets the case and the parent's like, what? And it's usually nothing. It's just a simple, you know, refiling or filing correctly of something. But
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There are some states, I know like the state of Texas where I live in, there are some re-enrollment issues. Like if a student is in high school, none of your homeschool credits get counted towards a public high school. They just refuse to take them. So we saw after COVID that a lot of students who did like 2 years of homeschool had to start completely over again. And parents were irate about that. So there are some things that, you know, just navigating even things like that, where we're having somebody who knows your state laws. And there's lots of different people you can go to within the state organizations or private people like you, Stephanie, that can help with that navigation.
Yeah. So a lot of times you need an advocate for the parent or for the student, or even if the parent is doing a really great job advocating, just having somebody else on their side who's also making those phone calls. And a lot of the times people you're calling don't even understand fully the laws either. And there are a lot of cases where credits should be counted or things should be happening and it needs to be pushed.
Yeah. Yeah. I work for two different state organizations and we do a lot of that because it seems like the schools, even within your own state, they're very well versed on the school law, but not the homeschool law within the state. Mm-hmm. There's a wide gap there. So absolutely. So as far as like when somebody's making decisions to homeschool, other than laws, what are some other things that they should take into consideration?
The biggie is, how is your child being educated? So there's so many different ways to do it. You get those parents that are a little bit nervous. They, you know, maybe whoever's in the house works full time, whatever it may be. Depends on the age of the child, just getting a plan in place because it could be done I have families that do it in every which way. And, you know, it's not something where, you know, if mom's not sitting home with them, it can't happen. That is not true. There's so many different ways to do it, especially nowadays with having more people working hybrid and remote or having family members home pods. Just pods from that people have set up, like parents in neighborhoods and things like that. There's so many different centers opening that are accredited, affiliated with whatever homeschool systems are in the state and can do full or half days with children a couple days a week, whatever it may be. There's so many different situations set up, but definitely aside from the laws, getting a situation set up that's going to be the best for the family, not just for the child, but the family. It needs to fit the budget.
Yes, that's very wise advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So getting all of that, and I totally understand, there are some situations we get them to where it's a necessity. It's an emergency where the kid's pulled out. But if that's not the case, this is definitely something where having a plan in place with your family, with anybody who's going to be helping, people like us who help set the weekly schedules and find the pods and find that and all of that, just having a plan is the biggest thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we had a question from like a mom who said, I have ADHD and I'm trying to homeschool a child with ADHD. And she was kind of at a loss. How do I get, you know, just how do I homeschool? And her second question was how she gets her partner to help. That may be a little more difficult for us to address. But going back to what you were just talking about, Stephanie, that ADHD parent, when they get that plan in place, how much does that improve the home education process?
Well, one, and you know, you could speak probably volumes about this, but one of the major things that helps ADHD in general, adult or child, is routine and plan setting and checklists and things to stay as organized as possible and to know ahead of time what to expect, right? Yeah. So there are many different ways to do this in the house where you have like dry erase boards with schedules and things that kids can actually check off, or like flip over to the side, like things that kids can manipulate with their hands that make them feel a little bit more in charge of their day and they know what's coming. And then the exact same thing for the adult as well. So having different tangible in the house things that keep everybody on track and having them set up ahead of time. And then also adjusting as needed. Like there are people that we,
in the beginning
especially, there are people that we have coaching calls with after like the first 2 weeks or the first 3 weeks, and then once a month to check in and tweaking the things that are kind of working, but could be better over the first, you know, I'm sure in the first couple of months, there's some things that, you know, you need to get your routine down pat. And that takes a little bit of time. So for, especially for people with ADHD, getting all those little routines and getting them to a place that you find works for everyone takes a little time, but it is going to be beneficial in the long run.
I think setting your, you set up yourself for failure if you just expect it's going to work right away off the bat.
For sure. And it's helpful too. And you know how I explain it usually? It's like a job that you just start. If you walk into a job, you walk into an office on day one, nobody's good and you don't know where anything is and you feel kind of panicky inside. And then after a couple of months, you're flying around the office. This is the exact same thing.
Yes. Yeah. And your kids are the same way too. I just remember the day when my kids finally they came downstairs, had breakfast, they picked up their books and they did what, you know, it was like, this is our rhythm. This is our pattern. And it does, it takes a while for that to happen. Actually, it took two years, but so don't give up. It does happen, but it has to become a way of life. And when you abruptly upset that, it takes a long time to develop new habits and new rhythms. And you do have to fall into the rhythms of your family as well. Like you were talking about, I love that advice because a lot of times parents will only look at their kids and try to pick a curriculum or a methodology. And I always go back to the parent and say, well, what about you? What are you excited to teach? Because you're the one teaching it. And if you're not excited, your kids aren't going to get excited about it.
And what real-world things do you want to bring in? What is your budget? What is your what is your daily schedule? Like, you know, the flexibility of homeschooling is one of the big draws, right? If you guys aren't morning people, don't wake up early in the morning. Plan it
exactly.
When does your kid learn best? When are you all the most attentive? What you know, whatever's going to work best for you is where we need to get that schedule to. And then kids, like you said, kids love innately routine. They love knowing what's coming next and feeling safe and feeling like they have, you know, voice and choice in the matter. And so yes, the whole family plays a role in making sure that this is, you know, going to work in the long run. And the partner thing, I'm sorry, my husband still puts his socks like by the hamper instead of in the hamper.
No advice there, huh? Yes. Yeah. I always found for like my spouse, he loves history. He loves that, you know, like budgeting and those things. So when we were doing things like that and I could find something to get him involved, or have the kids, you know, talk about that at dinner time, that involved my husband into those conversations. And sometimes he just took over realizing that I wasn't doing as good of a job as he would have preferred. And, and then he took off with that. So, but yeah, you just have to have a lot of grace and just, you know, you do what you can. And
definitely
that's it.
I think that's like a big thing though, what you just said. So I have a family in New Jersey, second grade son. And I was on the phone with the mom recently and she told me that she had no idea. And I don't even think her husband had any idea, but he's a big science nerd and, you know, nobody kind of knew this about him. And him and the son sit and they do all the science space stuff and documentaries and all of this. And they found something that, you know, could be like a little bonding thing and something he really liked, and it got him very involved in that specific way.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yes. Over time, dads will come in. And I know I have a lot of friends whose husbands, like as soon as that higher math kicked in, their mom's like, not me. And, and so then they took over. I have a degree in physics, so I was the one doing all the math.
Not the writing though. Leverage your strengths, you know, this is where you're going to see your strengths more, and you're going to have to leverage them, you know, to be successful.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely. And also with tutors, and things like that too.
For sure. Yes. outside help. I mean, there's even family members that would love to help in, you know, with whatever the kids are doing at certain points. And, you know, you remember how you used to do like career day 100 years ago? Things like that with different family members and friends and anything you could do to, you know, leverage them and expose the kid to some real world learning experiences is good too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's, you have to be part of a community. Homeschooling alone just doesn't work. Because your kids need those interactions. They need this, that. And so many families, I mean, I've talked to some homeschool families, they're like, we had to stop, we had to start saying no to things because there was so much to do that we weren't getting any real school done or, you know, just stuff that they should have been working on. So there's that side too. So what about subjects? There's different states have different requirements too. And I don't think a lot of people know this, that there are required subjects in some states, not all, but how does a parent go about, you know, navigating that? And then is it that they have to teach these subjects every day to their student there, or how can you kind of, work with the law to make it fit your family, dynamics, the approach that you're using, those types of things?
I love this question because I feel like it shocks parents every time we have a phone conversation about it. So this is another one that's going to be a nuanced question depending on where you are, because there are some states like where I am that are going to very clearly tell you what subjects you're teaching by year, by whatever year your child is in, and how much of it, et cetera. And then it, you know, trickles down all the way to the states that don't tell you at all what you have to teach or for how long. And there, and all the middle ground, you know, and it really does depend by the state. However, this is where all the different homeschooling trends come in, depending on what you, you know, mandated, what you can and can't do. So say, let's take somewhere super strict like New York first, right? You have to teach English. And when we say ELA, we don't just mean reading. We mean reading, writing, grammar, vocab, syntax, spelling, you know, all those different things. And then all the nuances in those, right? Then math, then social studies, then science, then health, phys ed, art and or music, bilingual if you need that. Like all these different things. Right. And parents are like, when am I doing all this?
Right.
And how am I going to like fit in what I want to teach, you know?
Yeah.
But the it's, and I feel this about a lot of states, but you know, the more highly regulated ones more, it sounds more demanding than it actually is. So there's many different ways to teach these things, and you can use the state standards or not. They're, you know, good to go by just if you want to keep them on pace with your peers. But think about a child in school, right? They're not sitting, and this is a question I get all the time, like, do I have to do 8 to 2 or 8 to 3 or 9 to, no. You have to
do exactly.
Sitting, take like a upper elementary, I don't know, fourth grade, right? They would be sitting more than likely in a one or double period ELA class, a one or double period math class. So now we're talking 45 minutes, a couple of days a week, it would be a little over an hour. Just going by what they were doing in school.
Right.
And then social studies and science a couple times a week for a period. So this is, it's not 6 hours a day of academic. And then there's transition time, free time, recess, lunch, electives. There's all these different things happening. So there's no reason for you to think you have to go overboard at home. You're going to do, you know, whatever reading lesson you have in your curriculum. You're going to see, this is a biggie for parents. You're going to see your kid's learning style pretty quickly. And when they have the stamina and when they don't. And you're homeschooling. You're not in a classroom with a bunch of kids. So if you see your child is not making it through that 30, 45 minute reading lesson that day, just pick it up the next day. If they really just you know, aren't having it that day, or one day they're doing so great, keep going, you know? You have that ability. So yeah, do, you know, do your lesson, make it feel like you're done with your lesson. Feel like you and your child got what you need out of it. If you want to take a day and go for a nature walk in this local park, and that was your learning today, congratulations, that was your learning today. And, you know, that counts. And so no, this is a whole lot more flexible than even the most highly regulated states will make you think it is.
Yes. Yeah. I love that answer. It really, really is. I mean, you're hitting all the marks, and that's what you need to, but you know, you need to know what the marks are.
Yes.
Same thing with us in the state of Texas. We have, it's crazy because everything's, Texas is so free, but we still have required mm-hmm. subjects. We don't have to report to anybody. We don't have any hours, but we do have required subjects. And so, yes, I mean, but how you choose to teach those, what comes under that category, depending mm-hmm. on, you know, what level your student is learning, it doesn't mean you have to be teaching at that grade level either. And I think that's always a relief for parents because the schools aren't teaching a child who has multiple disabilities at the age where, or at the level where their age says they need to be. Mm-hmm. They're teaching them where they're learning. And so, yeah, that's an important distinction to make. Previously, you had talked a little bit about different types of learning environments. So like pods and the hybrid learning. So how does that work across the board when we come to state regulations?
So this depends on what you want for your child and moving forward, right? So there's places that are going to be kids who are homeschooling in the same, and so the parents get together and divvy up the days to make it easier, right? That's like the most casual type of pod you usually have, right?
Yep.
Then you have these centers that are, as long as they have all their state regulations met, they have all their insurance in place, they have, you know, accreditation in case your child wants to go back in school, they have centers that will do usually hybrid, sometimes full-time. Hmm. And the majority of them that are popping up are run by ex-classroom teachers. So they, you know, they know what they're doing and they want the freedom and the flexibility to teach in the way they want to teach. Mm-hmm. And these are all, as long as the program is, you know, hitting whatever marks it needs to hit in your state, these are fine. And if you want something accredited so that if you do go back in, your credits will transfer correctly, especially when we're talking about the upper grades, that's research you need to do in the beginning.
Right. Absolutely. Yes.
And this is something we actually do too. Sometimes like I'll have parents, I had a parent in Tennessee, call me and say that she found one of these places and a couple people she knows are in it. They love it. They did a tour of it. Is this like, can I do this? Is it legal? Will it transfer back? And then we will have to go make the calls and vet the school or vet the, mm-hmm. you know, the institution and see, you know, what kind of accreditation they have and what will transfer back into the school system should they want a high school diploma or an online high school diploma even or whatever mm-hmm. it may be. So these are case by case, but that's why people like, you know, like me and coaches and consultants exist nowadays is because
there's
many different options in this realm that, you know, what's going to fit and what's not.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And you just, like we had talked about previously, a lot of parents do make that decision on a year by year basis. And then as mm-hmm. your kids are getting older and you're trying to keep a transcript and you're trying to navigate credits and all of that for graduation, it becomes more and more difficult. Can we talk a little bit about those transcripts and graduation requirements for states for people who might be like looking long run homeschooling, or might be nearing those high school years and saying, you know, how do I navigate this in my state for these final years?
Yeah. So the biggest thing I can say is document everything. Hmm. I mean, get everything in writing. And this is something, you know, parents should do and can do, or I do as well for people. And I mean, even screenshot, everything should be kept. Dates you did things, transcripts from any type of school or institution or anything you can document. Mm-hmm. I would find out ahead of time and, you know, granted things do change. And when I say change for the, you know, this is good on our part, but they're actually getting more lenient and more helpful towards homeschooling families. It's not going in the opposite direction. It's actually, you know, so that's great. But just making sure ahead of time that you are on a track of a just in case I want to, you know?
Right. Because that is very good advice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You need to get down the line and find out that you should have been doing something else for the past year or two or whatever it may be. I have plenty of people that went back into a public high school or want to go to college and they're, you know, asking me to help them gather everything for the admissions process. And depending on the school system, the district, all of it, the requirements are going to be different. It's, you know, I'm sorry to say so many of these things we're talking about are nuanced, but they really are. And you got to make those phone calls to the district and see what the requirements are going to be ahead of time. And just for the sake of adjusting case, go on that track. You can always choose to not, you know, high schools usually, saying usually most of the time, accept accredited online schools, the credits from there. And this is becoming more prevalent. It's becoming a bigger thing. It's very helpful, especially, you know, how many parents can teach like high school, you know, earth science or whatever it may be. So sometimes enrolling in these is helpful. But you want to make sure if you were to go back into a high school to get a high school diploma, or what do you want if you want to go on a GED track? Another really nuanced thing is college applications. A lot of colleges accept homeschool students in their application process, but you need to have your transcripts saved from wherever you were. And even if you weren't in an actual program and you were doing it at home, what does that recording look like? And, you know, we help families set up recording systems so that they're making sure that everything they're doing all year is being saved in a way where it could be technically counted as a portfolio for that year's work, showing that you successfully passed, you know, eighth grade, whatever it may be. And having all of this stuff ready to go, saved in order, just in case it were to be given to a school or your state.
Right. Yeah. Those portfolios are really important because it seems more and more now that colleges are asking for that, even over those testing requirements, because students can, you know, you pass a test, but it's been proven that a student who does well on tests doesn't always do well in school. And so a lot of schools are going above and beyond. Yes. And vice versa, above and beyond that, looking for samples of work and things. And are you saving that? And then there's a lot of students who, you know, my oldest was a prime example of this. He started out saying, I'm not going to college. And yet, you know, there were certain things I really pushed him in, just feeling like I should. He went all the way through calculus in high school and then got his welding certification, then came home and said, I think I want to be an engineer. So, I mean, there are ways if your kids don't, I mean, I don't want parents to panic about this because colleges have programs where you can catch up, but you're paying for those classes without credits. So it's not like it's not going to cost at some point,
but that's a good point. Nothing's impossible. There's a lot of programs in place, especially now after COVID, because like a lack of mastered skills tended to snowball over a couple of years. And there are a lot of remedial things and catch up things in place, because what do we want to do? We want to discourage a whole, you know, handful of years of generations of kids from going to, you know, a high school or a college or whatever it may be. So there are a lot of catch-up programs and things in place. Nothing's impossible. You just have to find what's going to fit your situation.
Exactly. Yes. And so there's no panic, but it is like you said, it's good to just plan and really kind of hit more things that you think that your student really needs. And then there's overachievers like my daughter who had double the amount of credits for high school to graduate that she needed. And so we just pick and choose when she put in her transcript. Well, which ones do you want to include? Because you just can't put all that information. It's too overwhelming. but
you could always get rid of it later.
Exactly. Yes. So there's just so many options and in so many different ways for parents to be able to help their student in whatever end that they're looking at. So what kind of trends are you seeing coming up? I know, you know, like so one of the biggest, you know, things for me has been the change in just curriculum options. And I think we were talking about this ahead of the show is like, there's just so many that you get paralyzed with almost fear that you're not getting enough by not choosing them all. But what other kinds of things have you been seeing that people are asking about, or just some new things on the horizon that we maybe should be looking for in the area of homeschooling and navigating these decisions?
I definitely say curriculum is number one. It's almost like every time even I go online, and I like to do searches constantly to see what's new, what's, you know, getting rave reviews, what's not. I ask my families that I'm working with all the time how they feel about certain curriculums, so I know which ones to recommend and which ones, you know, are not. And the new ones that nobody knows, I'll ask for samples of, and I'll look through it. Like, I'll put my educator hat on and look through it myself. So the curriculum thing is huge. But one thing I'm seeing is a shift in the reasons people are homeschooling and how many people are homeschooling. Like, people's next door neighbors are doing it, and people have no idea how, you know, big it's becoming. And I have people all the time who will text me and they'll be like, oh, I just am standing next to somebody in Starbucks and they're talking about homeschooling. And I didn't even know people that thought I was like this crazy person. And that's not what it is anymore at all. So much taboo. And the phone calls that I get, you know, people, families will tell me what the situation is and why they're looking into homeschooling. And now it's, I mean, any reason you can imagine. And some of it's medical, some of it's families traveling, some of it's the kids are enrolled in some sort of national or professional sports that they're you know, too busy with that, and that's the direction they want to go. Unfortunately, I hear bullying and anxiety and all of those things a lot. God, I hate those phone calls. It's so upset and it's so prevalent now. And then I get, you know, the calls that are like, I just, you know, want my kids with me. Like, life's short and I don't want them gone for 7 hours a day, 8 hours, whatever it is. And there's a million reasons from we have to do this for our health to we want to do this because, you know, we just want to like hang out with our kids and family. And I think that's pretty amazing. And I kind of
Well, I'm excited that you're excited that, you know, families are making that decision. They're finding you to kind of walk alongside them in this process. And it is, it's a huge thing to navigate that it used to not be. But more and more so just the complexities of the law, the complexities of, like you said, so many different curriculums out there, so many different options, ways to homeschool. And then just the ways that kids are kind of moving in these very, you know, it's not like we school kids then to just put them on one track or another track. Yeah. It's not like you just either go to tech school or you go, you know, get a job or you go to college. Now there's just so many other things like you talked about, professional athletes. And it's becoming more prevalent that the kids are getting involved in all these things. And, school just it's one of those pieces, but it's not the main thing all the time. And you know, school's meant to help kids. It's not meant to burden them. And I think a lot of times the way that the mandates have fallen with test taking in schools, and I hear it a lot here in Texas from the kids that I teach who are still in the public school at my other business, and they're just like, test time is coming, and the anxiety is going up, and there's a lot involved around that.
A lot of it's tied to money now, unfortunately. So the schools and districts are, and it trickles down and makes the parents and the kids anxious. And you see the complete opposite in homeschooling now. I'm seeing a whole lot less about we need to get the core subjects covered, and your child needs to be, you know, on track, writing things like that just for themselves. But we're seeing this, like, I'm sure you are too, this movement where people are getting outdoors and people are getting, you know, their kids are getting dirty and their kids are learning in nature and doing real world stuff and getting out and, you know, doing what you need to be, you know, covered academically and then getting out.
And exactly.
It's the exact opposite of what's going on in the buildings. And that's a pretty cool thing. That's a nice movement.
Yes. Yeah, it is. It's neat to see families embracing that. I mean, Yeah, we found that out a long time ago, but it's I'm glad other people are catching up. Yes, exactly. Yes. So you talked a little bit about money, and I know a lot of families feel like they're giving up everything when they walk away from the public school system, especially our families, those with diverse learners who have had services in the schools. Can you talk a little bit about that, those options that are available for families who homeschool kids that maybe need therapy or need specific curriculum or other things?
Yeah, so this depends on the, you know, what your budget and your district and what is guaranteed to you. But this is exactly when it becomes very handy to have some sort of advocate on your side here, because a lot of parents don't realize, and I love these like shocked phone calls, like really? A lot of parents don't realize that a simple call to your district saying, hi, my child has X, Y, and Z learning disability or individual education plan in place, a 504 in place, whatever it may be, whatever accommodations your child had, there's a very good chance that if you call the district and you just ask them, what is guaranteed to me? What can I get outside of homeschooling? I mean, outside of the public school, if I'm in homeschooling, they'll give you the number to somebody to call, or they'll give you some sort of idea of what track you need to go down to guarantee yourself the same services. And a lot of the times they're free because there's state funding and district funding that gets put towards these that parents don't realize. Yeah. So like here in New York, if somebody, one of the first questions I ask when we move somebody out of the Department of Ed system is, does your child have an IEP or a 504 accommodation plan? And if they say yes, I'm like, okay, here we go. Let's see what services we can get you. And then parents are shocked to see that there's different special education services that will come to their house or that they can go out and get.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it, again, depends on the state, depends on the funding, the grants available from the state for those types of things. But there's a variety of them out there. And we're seeing now with homeschooling law, too, a lot of the state legislatures are starting to create those funds to move the money from where it was, it would have been allocated for that student in the public school to something that the parents can choose, or at least options that you have now.
Yeah, for sure. At least point you in the right direction. If there's, you know, if it's one of the rare cases where there's no funding available for this, where even that, like we said, the money's moving, they can at least point you in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's all great. So, I'd love for you to talk just a little bit about your website, what you do, how families can connect with you, so fill us in.
So it's My Homeschool Expert, because it literally is your expert. You're matched with somebody, with a coach that's fluent in whatever you need. And these are very open, flexible plans where we do different things like startup packages, like a family starting from scratch. You don't know anything. You need us to do all the paperwork for you, the calls, set you up with, you know, narrowing down curriculum based on your needs, based on your budget, everything we spoke about before, helping you create a weekly schedule, tweaking it with you for the first amount of time, and then different plans for coaching throughout the year. And even those are used at a parent's discretion, because you never know what you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly.
Some parents need more support. Some parents find that they get in gear a little bit quicker and need less support and like taper off as the year goes on. And that's truly the goal here, right? And then some people need more support or documentation help with saving things, with due dates and what's needing to be changed in, with writing the reports. Some people have quarterly reports, some have semi-annual. What do I do about assessment time at the end of the year?
And
set up for next year. Now I need another, you know, the next grade, or can you help me look at high schools? Whatever it may be, literally whatever it may be. We're here for whatever a parent needs, and we create flexible plans based on that. So you can, you know, guarantee that whoever you're matched with and get on the phone with is going to support any situation that arises for your family.
That's nice, because it's your family driving it then, and just the view of you know, whatever you say what's best. And because it, like we've been talking about this whole hour, is there's just so many options. And families do need to know how to navigate those options, how to make the best choices for their lifestyle, their, you know, values, all of that. But having somebody who's willing to do the work and the mm-hmm. advocacy and all of that to kind of make sure that those decisions are made with intent and wisely. Because a lot of times you feel like you just get thrown into it and you just have to make these decisions. And a lot of that time, if you do that, it is based on fear, is based out of anxiety, and you don't want to make decisions in that space.
Especially for, people get most anxious about things like that because it's your child. And, you know, this mm-hmm. is the last thing in the world that you want to mess up. And, you know, right. the phone calls we get are because people want what's best for their children, which is, messed up a phone call. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, awesome. Well, thank you for the work that you do, Stephanie. And I'm glad that there's a resource out there for families who are looking to navigate this and mm-hmm. these decisions and to just help them, you know, walk alongside them. I love consultants out there that do that and want to share that information because there are so many families that are coming into home education, like you talked about, that really don't know a thing and they don't have the time to research it and to really understand all the nuances. Mm-hmm. And so this is exciting. And I'm glad you were on the show today to share all this with us. Any closing comments, advice for parents as we wrap up our conversation?
Yeah. The last thing I would say is just, and thank you so much for having me on the show. I could talk about mm-hmm. this for hours. I love this. you know, a lot of people think they can't do it for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And we do free consultation calls to start because just having the call, asking the questions, maybe it'll help you make the decision one way or the other even. You know, this is something right. maybe you can do. I should look into this more. Or I don't think this is going to be for us and for whatever it is, just getting mm-hmm. the answers to your questions, speaking with somebody who can give you the, you know, the honest, unbiased answers that you may need. Yeah. To direct you. I'm so sorry. Nobody's allowed to walk by my house or my dog, you know.
That's fine. Yep. No, the FedEx guy delivers stuff when
exactly.
recording sometimes too. So
thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for all that you do. And I encourage you all to check out myhomeschoolexpert.com and all of Stephanie's resources on that website and reach out to her team if you feel like that they could help you. And I just appreciate your time, Stephanie, and continue the good work. You're making a lot of people, I'm sure, a lot to navigate this a whole lot easier than it could have been. And staying homeschooling, that's the most important thing. I think a lot of people pursue it. There's so much that they have to go through. They make decisions that they probably wouldn't have made. And then they end up going back to a situation that they didn't want to be in the first place. Exactly. And so people like you really help to make those lasting decisions mm-hmm. that are important and that work. And so that's what's important. So awesome. Well, thank you so much. And I'm going to let you go and I'm going to wrap up with my viewers. I've got a few other things I have to share. So so thanks for your time and God bless.
Thank you so much. Okay. Bye everybody.
Okay. Bye. Well, thanks everybody for watching the show. I normally have some questions that come in. I think we've addressed them all. So I think Lisa had one other question about transcripts and how can I do a proof of progress with your student? Again, this goes back to what our expert was talking about on the state regulations. Proof of progress, there's different states that have different ways that you need to prove that, either with using a an expert teacher or somebody that's certified or qualified to be able to, as a third party, see the progress in your student. But again, going back to your homeschool laws is really important. You can reach out to your state homeschool organization, HSLDA, or somebody like Stephanie, who works as a consultant that does those types of things. But as far as high school credits on transcripts, that's pretty simple. You can check out some of the videos on our YouTube channel that talk about that. We also have some information on our website at spedhomeschool.com about how to keep transcripts, as well as an entire high school homeschool high school checklist that has tons of information on homeschooling high school that could help you as well. So, definitely look into that information. But you don't have to follow the state requirements. In majority of states, you are the private school in your state, and so you set the graduation requirements for your student. And so so just kind of check that information out as well, and hopefully you can do that. Also, Maribel asked, how or where can I find private sped teachers? I would say look through the list of previous people on my show. A lot of them have businesses where they tutor and teach, and you can find somebody who has a specialty in the area you're looking for. Or else ask around your local homeschool community if you're looking for more of an in-person teacher. There's so many people out there that have left, especially like talking with Stephanie, after COVID hit, a lot of teachers just decided they were just done with the school system. They started their own businesses and they wanted to cater specifically to homeschoolers. And so there are a lot of people with great expertise out there that are wanting to help your family. So reach out to your local community, ask, and you shall receive. You know, we don't find those connections unless we let people know we have a need. So let people know you have a need. And that's where you go from there. Lisa asked also, how do you teach your child to read? That is a very good question. And it's one that creates a lot of anxiety in parents. I had no idea. I didn't even know what phonics was when I first started teaching my kids. So I just encourage you to look into the different types of reading programs out there. Do you need help? Ask these questions. If you need somebody like Stephanie, my homeschool expert, to help you to navigate that. There's so many different coaches out there and reading experts. If you feel like this is something you just can't tackle on your own, find somebody who has expertise in teaching kids how to read. But a lot of it is absorbing. Kids learn to read because you read to them, because you read next to them, because you read with them. Reading is a very, very complex process. And so anything that you can do, even talking, listening to audiobooks, it will come in time. And this is my biggest advice for you, is that kids will not learn to read at a specific date because it's the average. A lot of kids, especially boys, read later, have patience with them. Don't make it stressful, because the more you stress the situation, actually the more difficult it becomes for them to be able to read or to do anything. We don't want to operate under stressful environments. We love to do things that we love to do. And so if reading a book about something that your child loves that you probably don't like to read about is going to help them learn to read. So read that book over and over and over again, and point out the words, talk about them, spell them out, sound them out in their book. That's going to make them interested. They're going to want, kids want information. They want to know more. That's why they ask so many questions when they're little. We got to keep those questions coming, and material that has written content in it is a plethora of information for them. They just need to know how to access it. So you have to show them. Reading is going to give you access to all of this communication and to more information about what you want to know about. So that's a gateway. And so help them to be able to utilize that by encouraging them through what they love. So that's all I got for today. Next week, we are going to, we're going to delve into another topic. We're going to talk about twice exceptional kids, though. I don't know if you've heard the phrase 2E or twice exceptional. A lot of times these are kids who are gifted, but also have some glitches. They have kind of a learning challenge, but also their brain is really smart. I had three of them, or still have three of them. I homeschooled three of them. And so it becomes a challenge. These kids know what they don't know. And so it leads to a lot of things. But we want to just share with you in next week's podcast just about how to nurture those kids, their minds, and to help them to be able to succeed instead of feeling like they're a failure because of what they can't do or because of what they struggle in when they can do other things so well. It's just this this constant struggle that my children had and still continue to. There's no perfect answer, but there are some ways that you can really help them to use their strengths and to help them to compensate for the things that they struggle in. So anyways, that's our conversation next week. But just thank you for joining us on our show. We're here weekly, every Tuesday, usually from 12:30 to 1:30 Central, and talking about all these different subjects, especially for homeschoolers who are homeschooling kids with learning differences. And so, so we just want to be encouragement to you. Check out our website. It's bedhomeschool.com. We've got tons of resources there. You can search for our podcast, Empowering Homeschool Conversations, on any podcasting platform that you know about. And also, we're a nonprofit. We would appreciate you considering us for a donation. Prayerfully consider supporting the work that we do. And some big changes coming up. I've got some co-hosts that are coming on the show. We've got some really fun roundtable hot topics we're going to be addressing. And all of that new stuff is coming up in the next month. So so stay tuned for that. You're going to love it. And they're guests that you all have said that you loved in the past. So I'm excited to have them all together in one space and for us to be able to talk about topics that that are just pressing right now in the homeschooling environment or in your homes. And how do I address that? Or how do I be encouraged through what we're going through? So we're going to be here for you for that and excited about where that's going. So anyways, that's all coming up. Thank you all for joining me. Take care. God bless. And I will see you next week right here on Empowering Homeschool Conversations. Until then, bye everybody. I want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on this podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
This has been Empowering Homeschool Conversations with Peggy Ployer.
Our world can feel chaotic and uncertain, but we don't have to live enslaved to fear. Christ has promised me and you his peace, and throughout Scripture has provided powerful tools and practical steps to help us experience greater freedom. I'm Jennifer Slattery, lead host of the Faith Over Fear podcast, inviting you to join me and my team as together we learn how to starve our fears and feed our faith. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com or wherever you access podcast content.